You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Truth Is with your girl, Ash. And today's episode is about managing the help you give, aka stop trying to be Santa's little helper out in these streets. I like to call it Santa's helpers because I, too, wore the red and green outfit and had the pointy ears, so I know this life all too well. All right, clearly I'm kidding. I'm about the outfit and the pointy ears. But what I'm not joking about is the amount of help that I used to give people. Now, I want to be clear in saying that I love helping people. And my love for helping people is what actually inspired this podcast, because I want to talk about things that I'm experiencing, things that people that I know and love are experiencing, and talk through those things. And I believe that talking through them and sharing my thoughts and advice is helpful. But the problem with helping is that if you help all the time, if you never say no or say, I'm sorry, I can't today, then you'll be inadvertently crowned Santa's little helper. And the individuals in your world that you're always supporting will also view you that way. Now, some of you may be thinking, Ash, why are you being so condescending with this whole Santa's helper thing or whatnot? And it's not that I'm trying to be condescending. It's just that help is great. Help is good. But the problem with helping people out all the time is that you don't want to be viewed as the person who's always doing this. Like, it's good to know that people view you as reliable. It's good to know that people view you as someone that they can count on. But that can sometimes have a negative effect. And truth is, guys, there's nothing wrong with helping people, especially when you genuinely want to help, when you want to provide that assistance, no matter what shape or form it comes in. But like anything in life, we need to manage that. Because the truth is, people need help. Everybody needs support sometimes. You know, I have a friend who's moving back to New York in a few weeks, and I know that she's going to need help, and I'm excited to be able to help her out. And I know that there are other people that are excited to be able to provide that assistance as well. I myself, you know, I get help. I have friends who've helped me with this podcast, making sure that I market it, making sure that I'm consistent with it. My husband not only helps me with mixing and producing the sound, but he inspires topics for me to cover. So help is great. I mean, it's an awesome word. But here's the thing. You can't help everybody all the time. So, for example, a friend of mine whom I love dearly, I love her to death, she offered to help me with my move a few weeks back. Because like I mentioned, my husband and I, we moved into our own space. And she had hit me up and she was asking me if I needed any help. And if I did, in what ways could, you know, she be of help? So I was like, yeah, you know, if you can come through at such and such a time, on such and such a day, definitely that's what's up. This such and such a time and such a day arrive, and I'm calling her to let her know that I need the help this day and she can come through, and I get nothing. Like, she doesn't pick up her phone or anything. So I'm like, all right, what happened? So, you know, I let it go. It is what it is, because there's a million reasons why somebody wasn't able to hold you down or whatever the case may be. And she's human, so she has a right to whatever the reason was. Eventually, we talk about what happened. And basically, the short of it was, she had a long day at work, you know? So when she got home, she pretty much called it quits and went to sleep. And she woke up hours later and realized that she forgot. And so she, you know, we spoke about this and, you know, we talked it out. It was fine. It's not like she's a horrible person all of a sudden because she wasn't there. But we talked about what happened. And it was funny because one of the things that she said to me was that, you know, she's been just all over the place trying to get herself together. And it's just been really hard because she's just trying to essentially like find herself again. So there's just all this stuff that she's dealing with internally. And I said to her, I was like, girl, you can't help me if you need help yourself. Like, if after this conversation, we're having a more serious conversation about the fact that there are things going on with you that you haven't sorted out and you want to get those things sorted out because that's a priority to you in your life, then, you know, focus on sorting those things out, because that alone is its own job, separate from going to work and going to school or whatever responsibilities that you have. Working on yourself is work, right? So to me, I'm just kind of like of the belief that if you are going through and you have so many things that you need to focus on for you, it's okay if you can't be a helper, right, in that space, in that moment. And you shouldn't beat yourself up about it either. I think it's more about recognizing that this is a reality. And so I'm just like, don't offer help that you can't give. You know what I'm saying? No matter how much you want to be supportive. And I find that I've done that a lot. I will listen to friends talk about certain situations that are going on, and they're not even asking for the help. But because I know that they're going through and they need help, I'm just like, well, what can I do? Or I'll do such and such for you. And it starts to pile up. And now I have taken on the responsibility of providing this assistance for whatever it may be. And now I'm feeling overwhelmed. And so it's just kind of like, you cannot help others if you can't help yourself. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the instructions that like the flight attendants give when addressing like what you should do should the plane start to fall from the sky. And I actually Googled them. So it says, in the event of decompression, an oxygen mask will automatically appear in front of you. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask towards you. Place it firmly over your nose and mouth. Secure the elastic band behind your head and breathe normally. Although the bag does not inflate, oxygen is flowing to the mask. If you are traveling with a child or someone who requires assistance, secure your mask on first and then assist the other person. Keep your mask on until a uniformed crew member advises you to remove it. Thank you. That was my little effort at being a flight attendant. But the thing that stands out to me from those very clear and concise instructions is that before you can help someone, you have to help yourself. I can't help you breathe with this oxygen mask while this plane is crashing down if I can't breathe myself. So there are people who tell you that, you know, if you're feeling bad or you're going through something, then one way to get out of that rut or whatever is to consider going out and giving back and helping someone. Now that can be in the form, that can be a form of therapy. And I do agree with that. I do believe that, you know, sometimes people go through bouts of depression and they're feeling really low. And one way to uplift themselves is to go and give back. So when I think about that advice, I believe in like, oh, I'm going to go to a shelter or, you know, like do a food drive or maybe go read a book to someone in the hospital or whatever, like those types of things. They're not as personal, but you're giving back to me, in my mind, to the larger society at hand. You're giving back to the community, but not necessarily helping mom or your brother or your best friend or someone that's close to you. So I do, for me, believe that there's a distinction in that. So I don't want to give off the impression that I'm not saying, I don't want to give off the impression that if you're feeling down and out, that you can't be helping someone, because helping someone can actually help you. That can be a form of therapy. I'm talking about being the type of person who you look around and you're like, I'm always doing something for someone and it's starting to take a toll on you. So, you know, you got to think about, stop and analyze your situation and consider like, how often are you pouring into people? How often are you giving your time and energy to people? And then how much time have you allotted for yourself? You know, how much you time do you get? And it's possible that like me, because it's happened to me, you realize that you've become the go-to person for help, but now you're stressed out about all the help that you give. And then you begin to resent this notion of being a good helper. You resent the fact that you're reliable. You almost don't want to be seen as that person. And again, I'm speaking from my own personal experience. You know, being reliable and helpful are great qualities. And, you know, but at the same time, everyone needs to breathe and not feel like their only job is to help others. Like, you literally can't be Mother Teresa in these streets. And the truth is, that is okay. So continuing on that thought about when you help people so much, you don't have time to focus on you. Like I said, that happened to me. And I remember one day, I checked my calendar. My best friend always cracks jokes because I'm always like, wait, I got to check my calendar. Like, I've become that person. And I feel like a lot of us have, a lot of my peers, world, like, we went from being in college and like, yo, what's good? Like, I'm down to do whatever. Of course I'm free on the weekend, to wait, I'm sorry, can we do brunch 4 weeks from now? It's like, I literally went to brunch last weekend, or this Sunday, I should say, with a friend of mine, an old coworker. And, you know, when we worked together, we saw each other all the time because we worked together and we spoke and caught up on life every day because I literally sat next to him. We have a really great connection. So we were always talking. And then, you know, you do things after work or you start to link up and go out after. And it doesn't feel as hard to maintain. But then, you know, it's been a year since we stopped working together and he's a very busy individual. I'm a very, very busy individual. So now it's like you have to put forth more effort to see each other as opposed to like, oh, well, it's okay if I don't see him on the weekend because I'm going to see him 5 days out of the week. You know what I mean? So I hit him up, I think, in September, like I want to say late September, and was just like, hey, you trying to go to brunch? And we had to look at our calendars and then pick a day that we knew was going to work. And it ended up being 4 weeks out, which is fine. You know, we put the calendar on, shared the calendar invite, and, you know, now you have on the calendar brunch in Brooklyn, such and such. And, you know, that's what had to happen. So, like I said, my friend, she always cracks jokes about that. And earlier this year, I don't know, for whatever reason, I had to check my calendar for, I'm sure, something that I needed to do. And I looked at it and I was like, wow, I have something to do. I had something to do every weekend for like 2 to 2.5 months straight. And then within the week, not including work, I had about 2 to 3 things to do during the week after work. So some of that was school because I was finishing up grad school. And while I wasn't actively having to be in class, I was working on my thesis at the time, I still needed to allot time to meeting with my advisor or going to the library or whatever. So mixing that in with work, going to events, social events, networking events, things like that, it ended up being like, dang, like you're always doing something. And, you know, it's good to be like, you know, you have a full life, absolutely. But what I was realizing is that out of these booked weekends and partial weekdays, most of the obligations were not exclusively for me. I was doing something or going somewhere for someone else. So, you know, sometimes I split one weekend into 4 things. I'd stop here and support one friend and stop there and support this family member, maybe go check out a coworker at their new thingamajig that they're hosting in the city or et cetera, et cetera. The point is, I would say that easily 75% of the things that I was doing and that I was getting involved in was for someone else. And it's not bad to be supporting friends. It's not bad to show up because that's great. And like I said, people need support. But what bothered me about this analysis was that I was just like, I'm not doing any of these things. Like, I was enjoying going to these places and supporting my friends, but I was also not pushing myself to take care of my own personal endeavors. You know, I was pushing those to the side. I was never taking the time to hustle, plan, or organize whatever it is or was that I wanted for myself. And the truth is, I was burnt out. And the even bigger truth, the part of the truth that will piss you off, is that I recognize that it was my fault. Nobody was making me be Santa's helper. That was a choice I made. I said yes to everything. And some of you, some of my listeners, we share similar interests in literature. So some of you may be familiar with Shonda Rhimes. Her book, The Year of Yes, is where she talks about how her natural reaction to things like invites or whatever was to just always say no. She basically said no to pretty much everything. And one day her sister kind of like told her, she was like, you don't say yes to anything. I think she got invited to this really cool thing and feigned interest like she was going to go. And her sister was like, girl, please, you never say yes to anything. And so that was kind of like the motivator for her to reassess things and think about like, okay, well, why am I always saying no? So she had this incredible year of yes in 2015, where she just kind of started opening up herself to more opportunities and whatnot. And that ended up being wonderful for Shonda and therapeutic and an amazing learning experience that turned into a best-selling book. But for me, I'm like, well, Shonda, I'm going to flip the script and I'm going to make 2016 my year of no. No, I don't think I can make that. And, you know, you'll hear, oh, but you always come. I know, but not this time. Or, no, I can't make that dish for the holiday dinner because I won't be here. Oh, but you should go to blah, blah another time and stay here for, you know, Thanksgiving. yeah, nah, not gonna happen. Like, even one of my cousins was like, where are you going? And I'm going away for Thanksgiving to go see my sister-in-law and the kids. And usually I kind of facilitate Thanksgiving dinner and like where it's gonna be and whatnot. But I was just like, nah, no, in the year of 2016, I'm gonna do me and I'm gonna do what it is that I wanna do. And what I wanna do is go see my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew. So, no, nah, son, nope. Whatever form of no I could come up with, I started to use. And please believe, no is a sentence, like a whole sentence, right? And the other thing is, me accepting that I didn't have to do everything and be everywhere was allowing me space to do the things that I wanted to do, like finish grad school, like start a podcast, or visit friends that I don't often see. I have a friend who's in Connecticut, and she moved to Connecticut earlier this year. And, you know, I visited her in her where she used to live before, which was Philly, but Connecticut's not that poppin'. No disrespect to anybody living out in Connecticut, but I still wanted to go and check her and spend time with her because I love hanging out with her. So I, you know, took a weekend and we made it happen. We planned it out right. And it was a really great time. It was so therapeutic for me. Like, I kept telling her that I really needed this for myself. And I didn't tell everybody that I was going to visit because it's not everybody's business. But that was also a part of the no and starting to not feel like I had to help, because sometimes you help so much that you almost feel obligated to tell people where you're going to be, when you're going to be, to let them know that you can't be of help in that moment. Like, you know, in this weird way, you're living your life for other people. So I was able to, like I said, go see friends that I don't get to usually see, or go to concerts that I wouldn't normally make an effort to go to. Like, I'd be like, oh, I'd totally go there, but then not make the effort. So I began to do stuff for myself. And what I realized is that I was helping me, you know, I was helping me be better, be more active, be more present, and be more selfish, which is fine. You know, just the other day, a close friend of mine asked me to go to Paris with her. And now this person is a very, very good friend who I also consider a traveling buddy, because you can't travel with everybody. But that's a podcast for another day. And, you know, she called me like a few days ago and was like, I have a friend who lives in Paris and they're going to be able to give us a free tour, you know, and it sounded really attractive because I do love traveling. I'm the type of person that while I enjoy going to touristy spots, I don't want my whole travel experience to be touristy things. So to get a personal tour guide and see parts of Paris, or see Paris in a way that you wouldn't see it through a guidebook or whatever, would be awesome, right? And I think the other attractive piece was that we wouldn't have to stay in a hotel. But I kindly told her that's not going down. I've been to Paris twice, that's one, and one of those times was with her. So for me, I'm like, there are so many other cities in the world to visit. I don't want to keep seeing the same place, even though I might be seeing it differently, right? But also, I only have so many vacation days in a year, and I want to use them for me the way that I want to use them. And while I would love to go to Paris again, like, why not? I'm not going to pay to go to Paris when I've been there already. And I'm doing it not so much for me. I'd be doing it for my friend because she wants an opportunity again. And it, like I said, very attractive with the tour guide and the free board. But I told her no. You know, I just was like, I got to spend my time the way that I want to spend my time. So that means no oui oui to Pally. And I think the way to say no in French is no. So you can even be international with your no's, you know, however you so choose. Too much helping can lead the helper to being burnt out, like I said, right? That's a downside. Another example is that you might be constantly helping for the wrong reasons. So even like with the Paris thing, yeah, Paris is cool, but I'm not going for me. I'm going for my friend, right? Sometimes people help others because they believe that's the only way they can measure their worth, which can be very dangerous, right? They're measuring their level of importance in people's lives by how often they can help them, and how often they're needed by people. The danger is that you're easily taken advantage of, right? You measure your worth by the amount of help you can give, and people will suck you dry. They will ask you for any and everything at any time of the day or week because there is a huge chance you will show up and deliver. And while that's noble, it's also kind of fake, you know? Now, I know that sounds harsh, but it's like you're doing this help because it's self-serving. It helps you feel good, but it also means that you're not taking care of your shit because you're always taking care of someone else. Yes, you feel good helping somebody. Slightly narcissistic, you know what I mean? If what you realize is that every time you help someone else, that's taking time away from helping yourself. And we all can do, there's a ton of things I know we can all do personally to improve ourselves, right? So the other problem is that some people you're helping, you're not really helping. Instead, you're enabling their actions or behaviors, and that continues to land them in the place of, I need help. I heard this bizarre story the other day about this woman who basically cheated on her husband because she wanted to have another baby. And I guess the discussion with, you know, her and her spouse was that, you know, he didn't want to have another kid. They have the kid and that was fine. But she just wanted to have another baby. And instead of just accepting that reality, she went out and cheated on him and then got pregnant. And her church friends helped her. They like set her up. They brought her into the home and they helped support her. And I'm hearing this story and I'm thinking to myself, like, because what ended up happening was her husband was like, oh, no, you didn't. And he basically ended it. He was like, I'm not taking, like, no, which makes a lot of sense. Like, it's a Jerry Springer show waiting to happen. But separate from that, I'm just thinking to myself, this couple that took her in, as wonderful and as kind as this act it was, I'm like, how does that help this woman? It almost feels like you're okaying this crazy thing that she did and, you know, enabling it. Not saying that it's their job to chastise the woman and she's currently pregnant. So yes, she needs help. It's a very sensitive situation, but you know, you want to make sure that you're not helping someone who refuses to help themselves. Sometimes people need the space to learn how to help themselves, especially if they created the mess that they're in. I mean, it's my understanding that's how God gets down. He's all about helping those who help themselves. So, you know, I would say think about that. And lastly, folks, when you finally decide to say no to people, people want to give you the side eye and they're upset because they view your help as an expectation. Now your help is an expectation and the backlash feels bad. So you revert back to being Santa's helper again. You don't want to look like the person who can't help people out. You don't want to be, oh, so now you can't help me. Oh, so now you can't. So now you hear that feedback and you internalize it and you feel obligated to now help somebody. So it's like, it's not to say that you can never stop. You can never just stop and say no. You can say no anytime, but understand that some people will look at you funny and you shouldn't allow their reactions to prevent you from following through with this goal. If you are trying to be in a space where you're focusing a little bit more on yourself and kind of minimizing the help that you've been giving out. So for me, I think about it like this. When someone asks you if you can help them, don't be in a rush to say yes, especially if you don't know what kind of help they need. I used to do that shit all the time. I just be offering up help. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I could do this. I could do that. I could do this. I could do that. And then you're like, you know, actually I can't, you know what I mean? Or you can't go, you don't want to go back on your word. So now you feel like you're in a bind and you have to do it. So one, I'm like, don't rush to say yes. And also think about what kind of help it is that they're asking you for. And what I do now is I'm like, if somebody's in a bind or something like that, I just kind of let them speak. I let them get it out. Cause sometimes people just want somebody to listen to them. And then if they say, you know, I need your help, Ash, with such and such, I find out what it is. And I say to them, like, look, I will try my best, but if I can't do it, I trust me, I will let you know. Because I'm not going to also be the type of person who just avoids the fact that help is being requested of me. I believe that I should just be completely honest with you and let you know what it is. Then once you become privy to what it is that they're asking for, I always say, stop and say to yourself, do I really want to help this person? Because there's nothing worse than helping out of sheer obligation instead of desire. Like, if you don't really want to help, just because you're a good helper, just because you're reliable, does not mean that there aren't moments where you're like, I just don't want to do this. Like, I just don't want to help. Like, I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the feeling of obligation, whatever it is. And if that comes to you, then you just need to be like, I can't do it. And be okay with that. Like, we have to be okay with our no's. We have to be okay with saying, no, I can't help. And you know, if you decide that, yeah, you really do want to help this person, by all means proceed. But if deep down inside it's a no, then you need to say no. You need to be honest with yourself and you need to be honest with the individual. Also, you should consider the type of help you're providing. Are you helping this person be better or be worse? Are you enabling them to be destructive? Or are you helping someone get out of a bad situation? And these are just a couple of examples. I know that help comes in many forms. I know what people need varies a ton. But, you know, we all know people who constantly be fucking shit up, for lack of a better phrase. And they're always in a bind. They always need help because of something that they did. Not like, I'll never forget, my car broke down on the New Jersey Turnpike like a decade ago. And my friend came out with her boyfriend and they drove all the way from Long Island to Jersey and, you know, picked me up. And it was great. It was awesome. It was so wonderful to have that help and that support. But it wasn't my fault that my car broke down. It was old. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't do anything to cause that. But, you know, getting pregnant by some next dude when you're married just because you like to be pregnant, that's a problem that you created. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's not to say that there aren't situations where people do create problems and that they still need the help, but there are people who have, you know, patterns of doing foolishness that's always getting them in a bind and they're not taking care of their shit. And so now you're always cleaning up the mess. Cleaning up mess is a form of help, but it's not necessarily helpful to you or to that individual. So you do want to think about, are you helping this person to be better or worse? And then, you know, think about if the help you're giving is going to negatively affect you. So for example, I used to help my aunt and her kids with their school projects a lot, especially when they were much younger, because I was always around. I was in college. I was in high school. I loved doing it. I love my cousins. And so when I started getting serious with my husband before we were married, he was like, yo, you're going to have to pull back, especially when we have our own family. Like, you can't always be running every time they need help with something, because it cuts time and you start to create a pattern and it becomes an expectation. And it's not even to say that they're intentionally trying to take advantage of me, but it's like, if you position yourself as being this person who always does this every time, then there's going to be an expectation and you can't be mad for people that people have that expectation. And it goes back to what I said earlier. You have to realize, like, you played a part in that, you know, in creating that expectation. And he was right. Because, like I said, I love helping them, but, you know, I had to consider if one day this consistent help was gonna negatively affect some aspect of my life, more specifically cause, you know, issues in my relationship or whatever the case may be. So I had to reason with her. And, you know, I told my aunt, I said, look, you know, I'm always going to be there. I love you. You always have my support, 100%. I love my aunt to death. But I had to pull back and say that I can't always help. Like, it's going to have to be less frequent. And then I started going back to school. So I really cut the time that I could, you know, provide in supporting my cousins with school projects and things like that. But what I also said was, if you do need me and you give me advance notice, like a couple weeks or whatever the case, or a month, because, you know, kids get projects late, you know, early from their teachers or whatever. So, you know, like sometimes 2 months before that you have this huge project due. I was like, if you give me that advance notice for you and the kids, I will make time. Because going back to, do I want to help? I actually do. I always want my cousins to do well and excel. And my aunt is my aunt. Like, I love her. So she's my family. That's an automatic. But not only that, anytime I've ever needed her, she's been there for me. So I just, for me, it's not anything to be there for her. But I know that I don't want to commit if I can't commit. So I just say, give me the time, give me the notice, and I'm there for you. And it's been that way for a few years now, and it's been fine. I don't have the pressure of feeling like I have to hold them down while still feeling good that they know I'm there for them, even if it's not all the time. Like, I can just be, and I can support when I can. So, you know, I was just thinking a lot about that, and I feel like I know a lot of people that are very helpful, but I see the negative effects of being helpful. And you would think, well, it's help. How could that ever be a bad thing? It can. It can burn you out. You can start to resent the people that you're helping. you can start to not want to give that help at all. It can change you. So you have to consider yourself in these matters as well and create boundaries. That's all you're really doing. You're not stopping the help. You're just creating boundaries so that you can still be present for people, but essentially on your terms, right? There are going to be these moments that things happen, people pass away or people get sick or whatever, and people need you. And it's not, there isn't advance notice for those things, right? But when it becomes a constant and it's like these little things, like they always need money or they always need to get bailed out of jail or whatever. And like, trust me, I'm not exaggerating when I bring that up. Then you really got to stop and think like, is this my life? Do I want to always be doing this? And how is this negatively affecting me? So, you know, stop, consider, think about, are you that Santa's little helper who's always, always holding people down and just starting to resent it, starting to feel overwhelmed by that? If you are, I would consider just taking a step back, creating those boundaries, being open with people and being honest first with yourself and with them about the type of help that you can actually give, because our lives get busy and things change, you know? So yeah, thanks again, guys, for listening. Always appreciate it. Hit me up on Twitter at truthis25. Let me know if you've ever been in situations like that and what you've done, or if you're going through that right now and what you're thinking, how you're thinking about handling it. You know where to find me, Truth Is Podcast, on www.truthis.podomatic.com. You can also find me on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And remember, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Till next time.